Now, from the left coast to the D.C. Beltway, covering the topics you love to hate and hate to miss, it's the Silk or Joe Show.
Welcome, everybody. Welcome to the Silk or Joe Show. Happy to have you again this Saturday afternoon for our program. Always delighted when you join us. We have a guest on standby, so I'm going to rush through the introductions of the program real quick because we have a lot of people we want to thank who are vital to the function of this program. The Silk or Joe Show is part of the Main Street Radio Network, so we want to thank the Main Street Radio Network for allowing this program to exist. Sometimes their sponsors do not like what we have as content on this show. Sometimes the management doesn't like it, but they believe in the First Amendment, so they have our backs. We appreciate that. We also want to thank the Salem Radio Network for distributing this program. Main Street Radio Network can be found at mainstreetradionetwork.com. You can also find them on Facebook at Main Street Radio Network. Jane Silk, the Silk from the title of this program, mind you, Silk or Joe Show, can be found posting on Facebook at Main Street Radio Network's page, and they are also on Twitter, Main Street Radio. And if you like the programming that we have here, then you should check out the Alan Nathan Show. They are also on mainstreetradionetwork.com, alannathan.com, on Twitter at Alan Nathan. And of course, the Silk or Joe Show is not without its own social media representation. We are on Getter, GETTR.com, at Silk or Joe Show. And right now, to the guest who has been waiting in the wings, we are joined now by Janice Daniels, former mayor of Troy, Michigan. She is a member of the John Birch Society and writer for The New American. Janice Daniels, always happy to have you on the program. How are you today?
I'm very well. Thank you so much for allowing me to join you.
Yeah, always happy to have you. So what's going on with this Bilderberg group? Like, I knew kind of a little bit about them, but there's one aspect I wasn't aware of is that our leaders are using our taxpayer money to go attend these meetings or whatever, and then they agree in secret to various policy decisions there, and then they say, oh, we can't talk about it because of some British rule, even though American law says they should probably be telling us about what's going on.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. I also have heard about the Bilderbergs for a long time, but it never quite got on my radar until this year. And all of a sudden, I'm hearing about what's called the Bilderberg meetings, and it's an annual meeting. It's an off-the-record kind of forum. It's been going on since 1954. Now, of course, they claim that it's to foster dialogue between Europe and North America to prevent another world war. But guess what, gang? We're in a world war. And unfortunately, it seems as though the communists, and I have to call them communists point blank, I'm not going to, you know, mince words, they're communists, and they actually believe, I believe, that they have already won the war. And most Americans don't even understand that we're in a war. So we're in a very precarious situation, but God, is it a great time to be alive, to be able to be in this great moment in history, to make a difference, because although they have people like Klaus Schwab on their side, we have people like Jesus Christ on our side, and Klaus Schwab thinks that he is going to be a master of the world. No, Jesus Christ is a master of the universe, and it is just a point-blank fact that we win. But we have to stay in the fight, and we've got some really important issues going on, such as who's behind this and who's invited to this Bilderberg meeting every year. Well, I took a look, and there, of course, government workers. Stacey Abrams is one such person. Now, I didn't know that Stacey Abrams was such a big name in Democrat circles. She's won awards. She's one of the 100 most influential people in the world, according to the Democrats. And so she, why is she invited to this meeting? And then why is she able to come back and not tell us who's saying what at these meetings? Apparently, this Chatham House rule states that they can utilize the information that they get at the meetings, but they can't divulge who said what at these meetings. I don't know. Now, there's also titans of industry like Lockheed Martin. And I was really surprised to see that the only time that the Bilderberg meeting, there's three times, 3 years that the Bilderberg meeting didn't take place. One was in 1976 as a result of what was called the Lockheed bribery scandal. So there was a book written about that, and it's called Prophets of War. Now, that's prophets as in Isaiah, Ezekiel, Lockheed Martin, and the Makings of the Military-Industrial Complex. And the only other 2 years that this meeting didn't take place was the dread COVID years, which, you know, the COVID is the weaponized flu that was as effective as any world war in the history of our world in locking us down, shutting us up, destroying the American dream to such a degree that we are clawing our way back. But I believe we do win. I know we win. I know we win. So what is this company, Lockheed Martin? Well, it's come to my attention recently as it relates to the absolutely scandalous manipulation of our personal data by companies such as Ericsson, Neustar, Telcordia, AT&T. Of course, James Comey was hired at Lockheed Martin in 2006 as the senior vice president and general counsel. Now, we know we can trust that guy, right? So it's like it goes on and on and on. And what are one of the large publicly traded corporations that is listed on the Bilderberg meeting membership list? Ericsson. I don't know if you know anything about this Ericsson Corporation, but Pete Santilli interviewed Patrick Byrne back in February of 2023. And he said that in the last election, Ericsson's control of our 9/11 emergency management system allows them to know everybody's movement with geolocation data. It goes through Neustar's server, and they don't even have to touch a machine or manipulate a machine, but because of the same-day voter registration, they can have their printing company print up enough ballots needed to affect elections. This is really critical information. It's not me that said it. It was Pete Santilli. There's a man named Michael Corey who has put out a report called the Ericsson Report. It's very difficult to find, but it just details how deeply our personal data has been manipulated and control of our data has been given contractually by President Obama to foreign entities that are not looking out for our best interests.
Well, it sounds like this whole Bilderberg meeting that started this conversation is a group of foreigners who are not dedicated to our interests.
Oh, that's exactly a fact. These people have long wanted the one world government, the Council on Foreign Relations. In fact, this Chatham House rule, bound by secrecy, this is what they operate under, the Chatham House rule. Well, that is also known as the Royal Institute of International Affairs. The Chatham House is also known as the Royal Institute of International Affairs, and that's the British counterpart to America's Council on Foreign Relations. So, wait a minute. Council on Foreign Relations loves communism, loves the one world government. The British counterpart is instructing whoever attends these Bilderberg meetings that they are bound by secrecy rather than by, say, for example, 5 U.S.C. Title 552, which says that public officials are bound to let the public know about policy decisions, even if they're not in the Federal Register of Acts. So we are allowing our representatives and important people in the government or associated with the government to go to these one world government meetings and not come back and not tell us what is going on. And that is antithetical to everything about our American Republic.
Yeah, it seems antithetical to their self-stated goal. We want to stop another world war. Well, if they're going there and conspiring in secret, how is that going to stop a world war? If anything, it's going to breed suspicion and mistrust.
Absolutely. Well, you know, people like Klaus Schwab, honest to God, he says the fusion, whoever controls the fusion of our physical, biological, and digital identities will be masters of the world. And so they maybe they don't necessarily want a kinetic war. They don't want to have to. In fact, I'm sure they don't, because they know that America is the most heavily armed society in the history of the world. And that's why they're having so much trouble taking over America, is because we are defending ourselves. At least we have the ability to defend ourselves. And that's why all this, the anti-gun legislation is so important to these one worlders. They have to disarm us. And it's a historical fact. Populations have been decimated. 170 million people in the 20th century alone, non-military people, have been exterminated by world governments. And I found that statistic on a website called Jewish Preservation for the Ownership of Firearms.
Well, Janice Daniels, appreciate you being on the Silk Road Show today to warn us about all of this. And listeners, we have more program coming up after the break, so stick with us.
This report is sponsored by Office Depot. At Office Depot, teachers mean the world to us. For all of their support, guidance, smiles, and tears. For the early morning extra help sessions, late night paper grading, and everything in between, their desire to create brighter futures and make the world a better place is inspiring. To thank teachers this Teacher Appreciation Week and beyond, teachers with a free Office Depot Office Max Rewards membership can get a special coupon for 30% back in bonus rewards on qualifying in-store purchases, including classroom supplies, arts and crafts, cleaning supplies, and more. Now through July 1st, visit officedepot.com/education to learn more. And thanks to the generosity of Office Depot and Office Max customers, the company raised over $2.1 million to support teachers, students, and Title I schools last year. The in-store school supply drive was recently enhanced, and this year will help hundreds of additional Title I schools nationwide. Visit officedepot.com or a local Office Depot or Office Max store to learn more.
Spring is here. Time to get out of the gym and take your workout outdoors. Whether you're walking, running, swimming, or biking, it's important to have a proper warm-up routine to prevent injuries. Five-time Ironman triathlon world champion Craig Crowe Alexander has some advice.
Sprains, strains, and injuries can happen to any athlete. Even a minor injury can affect your performance and derail your fitness routine. One of the best ways to try and prevent injuries is to make sure you prepare properly.
Alexander recommends always starting with a 10 to 15 minute dynamic warm-up.
Activation exercises combined with some dynamic movements like lunges are great for warming up. Focus on one specific movement at a time until you feel ready to go. Be sure to listen to your body and use proper support gear when needed to protect yourself and prevent injury.
The Curad Performance Series Ironman lineup includes rugged supports, wraps, kinesiology tape, bandages, and analgesics to support you on your fitness journey. For more, go to Curad.com.
Struggling with credit card debt, high interest rates? There is a solution. Credit Guard of America is a nonprofit licensed and bonded company with an A-plus rating with the BBB. Credit Guard has helped people nationwide get out of debt for over 32 years. They will reduce your interest by up to 50%, stop collection calls, and roll everything into one low monthly payment. This is not a loan, and you do need at least $5,000 or more in credit debt to qualify. Call Credit Guard now at 800-208-9833 for a free, no-obligation consultation. That's right, call 800-208-9833 now.
Moms know it's the little things that matter most. A kiss for skinned knees, a hug for hurt feelings, and the small acts that keep families healthy. Many moms before me have seen serious diseases claim the health and lives of their families. Mine was affected by polio. Today, vaccinations for polio and many other diseases can help protect adults and children, generation after generation, mom after mom. Learn more about how to help keep your family healthy at vaccines.com.
Adopt US Kids for multiple choice parenting.
Your daughter just had her first breakup. Do you A, put yourself in her shoes?
How could he do this to you? And for Sheila, she has split ends.
B, console her.
Oh, sweetie, this is going to happen a lot. 4, maybe 5 more times before you get married.
C, take charge.
Got to get this all straightened out. Give a little talking to man, mano a mano. Hey, Steve! It's now a good time? No? Okay, no problem. Bye.
Or D, help her find a new boyfriend.
I know a great place to meet boys. The internet. Nice, single boys. Never mind. How about some ice cream?
As a parent, there are no perfect answers. But you don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same.
For more information on how you can adopt, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUS Kids, and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to the Silk or Joe Show, everybody. We are joined now by Daquan Roos. He is Executive Director of Concerned Communities for America. Daquan Roos, happy to have you on the show. How are you today?
I'm doing well. How are you? Thank you for having me.
Thank you for being here, and I'm doing well. Thank you. So, Black Lives Matter, recently it came out what their spending habits were. They've taken in $90 million and sent $30 million of it to fellow charities. But then they sent $34 million of it to their friends and family, apparently, in an act of gross nepotism. What have you found out about this?
Yeah, so, you know, my organization, Concerned Communities for America, we began to look into, you know, the BLM, you know, corporate grift about a little bit over 2 years ago, when we realized that, you know, many of the families and individuals who, you know, claim support for BLM, who, you know, when tragedy struck BLM, you know, publicly raised funds off of, when those families began to publicly put out there that they hadn't been financially supported.
Hmm. Yeah, it's a very suspicious behavior, especially from a group that claims to be doing all this stuff to help black lives, but then suddenly you read about, oh, money on mansions with airstrips, multiple mansions from the leaders. And it seems like in about, the 8 or 10 years that the organization has been in existence, their leadership became super wealthy.
Absolutely. Extremely wealthy, and citing the need for retreats, you know, for a violent...
It seems that our... Daquan Bruce says phone is coming in and out. I'm going to ask our producer to hopefully do something about that if possible. However, this is a very significant matter because a lot of people are being duped into spending their hard-earned cash, especially in poorer neighborhoods, poorer communities. They're being told Black Lives Matter is your salvation, your hope, we'll help you. But then this... It's almost operating like a mega church in a way, you know, taking your money and for exchange for salvation that never comes. But boy, do they have a nice building to tell you these lies from. So it's you got to really watch out where your money is going. And it's disturbing that there has been less curiosity from the mainstream media about what Black Lives Matter does with its money. I remember for years, before 2020, in fact, people had no idea what the Black Lives Matter was spending their money on. They were very closed about their finances, and they were taking in millions of dollars in that time. And now that we know, we only know about $90 million of it, but, you know, I've read reports before 2020 that they've taken in more money than that. So what's happened to it all? We have no idea. And certainly the people that they claim to want to help, they never received a cent of it.
Transparency in where the BLM was putting money, the founder immediately, Patrice Acolas immediately cited racism as the claims for transparency, and that, you know, BLM should not have to disclose them because they are a black-led organization. This is a leader in an organization that utilizes and weaponizes race to, you know, do illicit and illegal activities, saying their family members and friends.
Hmm. Yeah, it's a interesting ploy to say that it's racist to ask, because gee whiz, how many times have Democrats said, hey, this organization that happens to have a bunch of white people in it, show us your records. Boy, you know, it's right. The whole Democrat Party was opposed to dark money, but these guys, they're operating in total secrecy, and they were exploiting certain rules about what qualifies as a charity and who needs to expose their records in order to do so for years.
Absolutely. And at the heart of all this is that, you know, this type of of manipulation and grifting, you know, across the community, it takes away from the real issue and the real organizations that are on the ground supporting our communities in meaningful and tangible ways. When we allow, you know, big, you know, organizations such as BLM who thrive off of Black pain and suffering of Black communities to advance, then what we do is we silence those who are really actually day by day changing the lives and the hearts of people in their communities, like Pastor Corey Brooks in Chicago, who's building a youth community center to curb gun violence. That's where individuals who really care about their communities should be including and putting their funding, not in big organizations who, you know, fund protests that destroy our communities.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, big organizations that, like you said, destroy the communities, but also don't put any money into rebuilding those communities after they've torn through. In fact, the only money we've seen from BLM goes to even more protests to destroy even more communities, which, you know, it's a good business model for them, I guess, because it generates more demand for their services, but they never arrive. You just get more and more of these destructive protests.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's a really kind of a catch-22, if you will, because, you know, many people, when they see injustice, they want to act, you know, and it's very difficult to know where to go. And so you have and some guys there, you know, in the form of support. Many of them are hit by the call that these organizations have. And BLM isn't the only one that's out there that's like this. You know, you have, you know, Al Sharpton and his groups and others who are out here, you know, really monetizing and profiting off the suffering of communities. And that's why CCA exists, to highlight those injustices, to call them out and say that if you really care about the community, if you really care about the individuals and the lives that are being lost to this problem, you need a way from a support entrepreneurship and picking up the police and keeping the community safe. And you're going to support education and allowing parents to have a say in where schools their kids go to and how, you know, they should be educated. If you do those things, we'll see meaningful in the community.
Right. And there's also a danger to these organizations too. You mentioned Al Sharpton's group. It seems like he was the prototype for these super massive grifter charities. So then Black Lives Matter came along 10 years ago. And it seems like none of these groups are held accountable for exploitation, there's just going to be more and more of them later on, because more and more people are going to see, hey, Al Sharpton did it, Black Lives Matter did it, we can do it too.
Do it too. Yeah. And that's why we need stronger accountability. You know, no organization should be allowed to operate, you know, in complete darkness where you don't see what they're doing with the funds. You know, that's why these watchdog organizations exist. And that's why we work very closely with them in order to make sure that everything that we do at CCA is completely transparent. You know, I remember growing up, and every time there was a shooting in our community, right, it wasn't Black leaders such as Al Sharpton that you would see. It was the pastor, Father Flager, the white man in Chicago, who would come out and be there with the families, who would engage. It was the police who would be there. It was, you know, the other pastors, the business owners were there really making the support. And we don't see that much more now that these large organizations are out there. And that's what we really need in that.
Mm-hmm. All right, Daquan Bruce, Executive Director of Concerned Communities for America. Appreciate you being on the Silker Joe Show. Listeners, coming up to a break, so you can go check out Concerned Communities for America while we are playing our sponsors, playing tribute to our sponsors. And we have more Silker Joe Show coming up after this.
This May is ALS Awareness Month, a time to recognize ALS, or amyotrophic lateral sclerosis, also known as Lou Gehrig's disease. As this incurable disease progresses, people with ALS lose the ability to speak, swallow, eat, move, and breathe. Diagnosed young, former nurse practitioner Kate Neese is on a mission to share her ALS story and spread awareness of this devastating disease.
On the day Stephen Hawking succumbed to ALS, I started my journey with this disease. Diagnosed at 32, I never imagined living with a disease that I thought only impacted older men. Now I am proud to serve as a mentor for other people living with ALS, especially young women, and I strive to continue advocating and spreading awareness among the ALS community and beyond. If you or a loved one is being treated with Radicava ORS, Edaravone, or Radicava IV, Edaravone, you could help others by sharing your story too.
To learn more about sharing your ALS story, visit shareyouralsstory.com.
This message is sponsored by Mitsubishi Tanabe Pharma America. Indication: Radicava and Radicava ORS are indicated for the treatment of ALS. Important safety information: do not receive Radicava Edaravone or Radicava ORS Edaravone if you are allergic to Edaravone or any of the ingredients in Radicava and Radicava ORS. Before you take Radicava or Radicava ORS, tell your healthcare provider about all your medical conditions, including if you have asthma, are allergic to other medicines, are pregnant or plan to become pregnant. It is not known if Radicava or Radicava ORS will harm your unborn baby. Are breastfeeding or plan to breastfeed. It is not known if Radicava or Radicava ORS passes into your breast milk. You and your healthcare provider should decide if you will receive Radicava or Radicava ORS or breastfeed. Tell your healthcare provider about all the medicines you take, including prescription and over-the-counter medicines, vitamins, and herbal supplements. What are the possible side effects of Radicava and Radicava ORS? Radicava and Radicava ORS may cause serious side effects, including hypersensitivity, allergic reactions, and sulfite allergic reactions. Hypersensitivity reactions have happened in people receiving Radicava or taking Radicava ORS and can happen after your medicine has been given. Radicava and Radicava ORS contain sodium bisulfite, a sulfite that may cause a type of allergic reaction that can be serious and life-threatening. Sodium bisulfite can also cause less severe asthma episodes in certain people. Sulfite sensitivity can happen more often in people who have asthma than in people who do not have asthma. Tell your healthcare provider right away or go to the nearest emergency room if you have any of the following symptoms: hives, swelling of the lips, tongue, or face, fainting, breathing problems, wheezing, trouble swallowing, dizziness, itching, or an asthma attack in people with asthma. Your healthcare provider will monitor you during treatment to watch for signs and symptoms of all the serious side effects and allergic reactions. The most common side effects include bruising, contusion, problems walking, gait disturbance, and headache. These are not all the possible side effects of Radicava or Radicava ORS. Call your doctor for medical advice about side effects. You may report side effects to FDA at 1-800-FDA-1088. You may also report side effects to www.fda.gov/medwatch or Mitsubishi Tanabe Pharma America Incorporated at 1-888-292-0058. For more information, including full prescribing information, please visit www.radicava.com.
This is David Cordani, CEO of Cigna. For more than 20 years, Cigna has worked with the March of Dimes to address premature births in the U.S. Premature births cause horrible suffering and cost billions of dollars each year. That's why Cigna is committed to raising funds and awareness through our employees, family, and friends to improve the health of moms and babies. Please join us in supporting the March for Babies. Start your team today at marchforbabies.org.
The mission of Paralyzed Veterans of America is clear: accessibility. Veterans who have served and sacrificed the best of themselves deserve access to the best our country has to offer. Access to meaningful employment. Access to the veterans' benefits they've earned. Accessible homes and vehicles. And access to every part of their communities. With PVA staff working inside VA hospitals, no other veterans organization has provided more real-time, ongoing support for paralyzed veterans and their families. PVA is proud to serve veterans across all branches, all generations, and all conflicts. Our nation's heroes fought for your independence. Join PVA in fighting for theirs at pva.org.
Welcome back to the Silk or Joe Show, everybody. So it's been said of the left that if it weren't for double standards, they'd have no standards at all. You know, my contention has always been that they do have standards. They have actually very strict, rigid standards. They are good, you are evil, and that's it. That's the only standard that they live by. So it's not really a double standard from their perspective, because if you're evil, then everything you do is wrong. Since they're good, everything they do is right. And going on to that, got a couple of headlines here that I wanted to discuss. sort of the headline potluck segments that I've occasionally pull out these days. So the government right now is actually taking donations that you give to the January 6th prisoners. They are what's happening is that if you donate to the families or the individuals who have been incarcerated, often wrongfully, for what happened on January 6th, you know, I'm not talking about the ones who are seen punching police officers. I'm talking about the ones who are outside the build at Capitol, never went in the Capitol, but are arrested anyway just for standing around in what previously had been public space. I've myself have stood in those public spaces before, perfectly legal when I was doing it, but somehow, just because the government decided, you know what, we don't like these protesters, so we're not going to tell them that it's illegal for them to be there. We're just going to make it illegal for them to be there and then start arresting them. That's all they've been doing for a lot of these people. And so that is why it's important to donate to them, especially given the conditions they're being kept in, because apparently the prison that they are being stuck in is actually quite horrid, even by American prison standards. We have a very pathetic prison system, just going on a tangent here. Like, this privately funded prison system that we have is pretty lousy, in fact. You get the lowest common denominator for the guards, at least in the prisons like the one that they're storing these guys in. And the facilities are just god-awful. You know, brown drinking water, toilets that overflow, and the prisoners themselves are being kept in solitary confinement for 22 hours out of 24. That, you know, if you do that for a week, that's enough to drive you crazy. Some of them have had it done to them for months. And I'm not saying drive crazy lightly. I mean, it will cause severe mental illness if you are kept in solitary confinement for extended periods of time. It's a fact, scientifically established fact. In fact, I know someone it happened to. Won't want to get into that, though. But the point is that our prison system in general is pretty lousy. So, you know, when I'm reading about what's happening to these January 6ers, I'm like, okay, well, that just, unfortunately, that just sounds like prison systems across the country, not anything specifically aimed against them. But then you realize that, well, it actually seems to be aimed specifically against them because of the fake charges that they're being put in there on. You know, like I said, standing in what hitherto had been public ground suddenly declared off limits without their knowledge. Like, you're supposed to tell people when you change the rules on them, but they didn't. They just started arresting people for just standing around. In fact, they arrested one guy because he refused to go into the Capitol building. So it is disgusting what the justice system has been doing. It's not really a justice system at all. It's a mockery of the word justice. But while they're doing that, while they are stretching out their limbs, really, they are stretching credibility about what qualifies as a protester, sedition, treason, etc., in order to incarcerate anyone who was there January 6th that they can get their grubby little paws on, they are actually handing out settlements, million-dollar settlements, to rioters. The same D.C. criminal justice system that is prosecuting people for standing near the Capitol on January 6th. That same criminal justice system that's holding people without trial for 800 days. Not violating their constitutional right to a speedy trial by holding them without a trial for 800 days, mind you. That same criminal justice system is paying out settlements to rioters who torched vehicles and tried to kill people. $1.6 million per rioter in some cases. And what's the difference? Well, these are Democrat rioters. These are the ones who are rioting at Trump's inauguration. You remember the scenes from that, don't you? Limousines on fire that belong to minority businessmen, rioting, protesting, improvised explosive devices being used by left-wing agitators. Well, if you were arrested there, you're getting a $1 million settlement for it. Meanwhile, if you're arrested for standing outside the Capitol on January 6th, you're being almost denied a right to a trial, certainly being denied your right to your lawyer and attorney and all that, because a lot of these cases, for a while, what they were doing with the January 6th prisoners, since many of them were unvaccinated, they were saying, well, unless you get the vaccine, you're not allowed to meet with your lawyer. They were just creating these fictitious and insane rules in order to punish these people for not being Democrats, basically, because Democrats did more. Of course, they do worse. And, you know, we're supposed to think that because I don't know, someone whacked a Capitol Police officer, that makes what happened on January 6th way worse than anything Black Lives Matter ever did. But remember, Black Lives Matter, they tried to storm the White House in 2020. Democrats didn't care about that. In fact, they said Trump was evil for trying to stop them from storming the White House. So really huge double standards here, because Democrats think whatever they do is right, whatever the other side does is wrong. That's why you get a $1.6 million payout if you torch a limousine, but if you stand near the Capitol, you're locked up and they throw away the key and you don't even get a trial. But we're seeing this elsewhere too. I just also want to point out the Associated Press, they had a rather sickening and disgusting report on this, in which they try to paint everyone at January 6th as some kind of anarchist terrorist, totally refusing to comprehend what happened that day, of course, because the Associated Press, you know, they're supposed to be the objective news source that newsrooms get their information from. You know, they're supposed to be reporting it objectively, but this thing that they wrote about what was going on here, they were trying to say that these January 6th people, they deserve to have the money taken away from them. They deserve to rot in prison. They deserve to have the key thrown away. The same Associated Press, which denies that there's any damage from the Black Lives Matter protests, of course, that denies anyone died from those protests, that certainly denies anyone deserved to be punished for the many deaths. The same Associated Press that denies that left-wing protesters seized part of Seattle, declared that they seceded from the United States, and proceeded to beat, rape, and murder people within their borders that they created themselves. No, that's okay. Go ahead and do that. You're a Democrat. You can get away with that. But if you stand near the Capitol, according to the Associated Press, if you just stand near the Capitol building and you're a Republican protester, forget it. You don't even deserve to have money for your family as you, the primary income earner, are locked up for just being adjacent to the Capitol, not even being inside. So, and I'm not sure, I don't think I explained exactly what's going on here, but basically for these cases, how the government is getting the money is, when these cases come to trial and the punishment is duly doled out, because this is Washington, D.C., if you're a Republican, you're getting a fair trial in D.C., are you kidding? 90% vote Democrat there, 90% hate Republicans with a bitter, burning passion. 90% of them would sooner kick you in the face than give you the time of day. Okay, that, you know, these are the people who say punching Nazis is okay, and they define Nazi as anyone who disagrees with them on anything. You're not going to get a fair trial in that environment. So, you know, these are kangaroo courts, show trials, all that. Call it what you will. It's not justice. But what the government is doing is they're seeing the money that's raised for these victims of criminal justice system abuse, and they're saying, well, this person's charity raised, $10,000 so that their family can buy bread while they are locked up in prison. So we're going to add, on top of their punishment, a $10,000 fine. In fact, we're going to add a $15,000 fine just for good measure. And that's how they are effectively stealing from the donations. They look at what donations these people are getting, and they increase the fine by a comparative amount. In fact, usually increase it by more. And so that's how they strip the families of the donations that they need to survive. Because the Democrats, they don't want your family to survive if you're not a Democrat, okay? And they are all for this. I mean, gee whiz, like I said, the Associated Press, they're reporting on this like the families deserve to have this happen to them. Like people deserve to have this happen to them just for standing around protesting. Not even the violent protesters that day. Just the people who were there deserve to have this happen to them. That's from the Associated Press, the allegedly unbiased press organ. And if this is what Democrats consider unbiased, then obviously we can see what the mainstream of the party thinks of these people. But moving on to this other topic, because I've only got like 2 minutes left of the segment about the double standards, and this is also important to point out as well. When it comes to rape. You know, I mentioned before that Democrats, the Associated Press in particular, they didn't give a crap that rape was happening when Democrats decided to have their own little anarchy in Seattle. Nope, they didn't bother reporting on it. Summer of love, block party atmosphere, those were the terms thrown around. Rape certainly was not. So we have E. Jean Carroll, I've mentioned her on the show before. She's the one who accused President Trump of raping her sometime in the 90s, not really sure when. And she also tweeted out that she didn't really interpret it as rape when it happened anyway, just came to that conclusion sometime after the fact. And as recently as 10 years ago, which was 20 years after the rape occurred, mind you, she's being the big Trump superfan on Twitter, saying she's sexually attracted to her. Well, we're told that that's rape. Forget it. No, you're not, believe all women, period. Meanwhile, CBS, their reporter Nancy Cortez, allegedly a respected reporter, she asked the White House about Tara Reid, the one who accused Biden of raping, and Nancy Cortez from CBS said that pretty much she was a Russian asset. What, how do you make of that?
Rockstar Energy is jumpstarting the summer you want with the energy you need, giving away $50,000 to fuel your Memorial Day weekend. Millions of Americans are eager to kick off the holiday weekend with a travel getaway. In fact, experts predict 82% of summer travel will be by car. And with high gas prices, 89% will be looking for travel rewards, which is why Rockstar Energy wants to help you save at the pump and stay energized to get to your next destination. Here's how it works. Throughout Memorial Day weekend, the first 1,000 people to stop by any gas station, buy three Rockstar Energy products, and fuel up on gas or electric charge will get up to $50 cash back. Text ENERGY to 81234 to find out more. The rewards don't stop there. All summer long, you can earn up to $5 cash back when you buy two Rockstar Energy products and fill up at any gas station. To find out more, text ROCKSTAR to 81234. Let Rockstar fuel your drive this summer. I'm Kendra Wright.
IBM Cloud Carbon Calculator is an AI-informed dashboard that gives organizations access to standards-based cloud emissions data with just a few clicks, helping them build a more sustainable future. As businesses move further on their hybrid multi-cloud journeys, they're working to deliver innovation while meeting growing ESG demands. Brianna Frank, Vice President, IBM Cloud.
Emissions reporting is becoming commonplace worldwide, yet inadequate data is the biggest obstacle to making ESG progress. With the IBM Cloud Carbon Calculator, we are making it easier for our clients to assess the data they need to address their carbon impact and to make more informed decisions.
The IBM Cloud Carbon Calculator enables organizations to track their emissions across various workloads down to the cloud service level and help further advance their sustainability objectives. The new dashboard complements IBM's existing sustainability solutions and expertise. By infusing data with AI into daily operations, IBM helps companies make sustainability strategies actionable. To learn more, visit ibm.com/think. Sponsored by IBM.
Struggling with credit card debt, high interest rates? There is a solution. Credit Guard of America is a nonprofit licensed and bonded company with an A-plus rating with the BBB. Credit Guard has helped people nationwide get out of debt for over 32 years. They will reduce your interest by up to 50%, stop collection calls, and roll everything into one low monthly payment. This is not a loan, and you do need at least $5,000 or more in credit debt to qualify. Call Credit Guard now at 800-208-9833 for a free, no-obligation consultation. That's right, call 800-208-9833 now.
What is dedication?
I am the father of a 9-year-old little girl and a 6-year-old little boy, and I find fatherhood both relentlessly challenging and relentlessly rewarding. My daughter is biological and my son is adopted. I love them both so much, from the morning when you wake up to putting them to bed at night, and every moment in between. It really is so special, and boy, is it exhausting. One thing that I fear about being a parent is the future for my children. I think a parent's job is to protect our children, but also prepare them for the world so they become good, kind human beings. But I'm also hopeful that the future holds a more inclusive and compassionate world for them.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Heart valve disease is more common than you or your doctor may think, especially as you get older. It's serious but treatable with the proper diagnosis. If you or a loved one are experiencing shortness of breath, fatigue, chest tightness or pressure, dizziness or fainting, talk to your doctor and ask for an echocardiogram to get diagnosed early and enjoy your best quality of life. Learn more at askforecho.com. That's ask, the number 4, echo.com.
Hi, it's Practical Polly's radio show.
If you're just figuring out that healthier cooking oils are better than solid fats, you may be asking, now what am I going to do with all these tubs of lard? Ever had one of those moments when your favorite skinny jeans feel too tightly tailored? Generously apply lard to your hips and thighs and those fancy pants will slide on like a dream. Or here's a family-friendly idea. How about making your yard into a lard fun park? Frost your driveway with a nice thick coating and give those kiddos a downhill thrill no matter what time of year. Having a bad hair day? Yep. A little lump of lard can tame your flyaways in a jiffy. So there's no need for that lard to go to waste or to your waste. But get your best heart-healthy trade-up with healthier oils like canola, olive, or other vegetable oils, which can actually lower your chances for heart disease. Now that's a tip worth keeping for life. Learn more at heart.org/facethefats. Canola Info is the national supporter of the American Heart Association's Face the Fats campaign.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the Silker Cho Show. Thank you for staying with us through this hour. In this final segment, we are joined by Dan Schneider, Vice President of the Media Research Center's Free Speech America. Dan Schneider, happy to have you on. How are you today?
Joe, I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing fine, thank you. Although this could have just been a deep fake AI-generated voice that I'm using. And, well, AI is a really significant danger to us, wouldn't you say?
There's a huge danger that many people are failing to understand. Yeah, artificial intelligence is the single greatest weapon that the left has ever had to socialize us, to control us. This is not just some sort of science fiction fantasy novel. Science fiction is now alive today. So right now, artificial intelligence is being used, in many good ways, but it's also being used in ways that will silence conservatives. And if we're not careful, it'll silence us forever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was just reading the other day about how AI was being used to remove videos of alleged war crimes in the Ukraine conflict from social media. And, whether these were committed by Russia or Ukraine, whether you're for or against the war, really this information should be out there, but they're just using these artificial intelligence programs to sleep through, remove this information. And coming up on a political year, what is that, just a test run? Are they going to remove anything negative to their candidate of choice?
Well, Joe, you've just understood how AI works. There's all kinds of data in the universe, and AI scrapes all that data together. If you ask a question, it basically takes the mean average to give you the answer. But if the left, and of course the left controls all these social media companies and all the big tech companies that are drafting the algorithms and creating artificial intelligence, if the left cancels the data, the conservative point of view, then that mean average, is always going to be moving farther and farther to the left. Can a man give birth? Well, AI, it will not be long before AI says, yes, men give birth. And any viewpoint opposite that will be canceled and eliminated. And that's just the tip of the iceberg.
Mm-hmm. And that's already dangerous right there, because the medical community right now is starting to use AI, and AI doesn't have the ability that, left-wing doctors do, of acknowledging that while we can say a man can give birth, we know medically speaking that's impossible. So, that AI, it doesn't have that knowledge. So that AI is going to be making recommendations like a man has a uterus and is a woman, which in many cases, medically speaking, would just be lethal.
Well, look, and it goes beyond this. Right now, social media companies have been silencing conservatives, silencing free speech. But the penalties are simply that we can't communicate to each other. But with artificial intelligence, if we believe things are contrary to what we're being told, the truth, the new truth that we're told we must believe, AI will be able to punish us. We will not be able to get services. We will not be able to go places. We will be punished for having a viewpoint different from the new truth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they could, for example, if you wanted to go to a protest that the people in charge of the AI don't want you to go to, well, they can just, program your, everyone uses Google Maps. They'll just tell Google Maps, hey, anyone using this particular cell phone, don't give them the right directions.
Well, but beyond that, right now the Chinese Communist Party is using AI to map the faces of Chinese people, and by mapping faces and analyzing faces, they can discern who is amenable to a communist message and who is not. And if you're in China and you're not amenable to a communist message, you're getting pulled out of line, sent to little camps, you know, to indoctrinate you into better, to become a better communist. You know, this the enforcement mechanisms are you know, bizarre to say the least.
Mm-hmm. And while that might not exactly be legal here, they can sort of subtly push you that way if they, you know, because of course we have cameras everywhere, even in your own homes, even in my own home, because I'm paranoid like that. But they can use that facial recognition software and they determine, hey, if you're not amenable to a Democrat left-wing message, then maybe your recommendations for YouTube videos are going to be changed. Maybe they're going to start flooding your inbox with different emails for left-wing causes. Maybe your social media pages will be aimed toward left-wing causes.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And now with artificial intelligence, these tech companies can, and I mean this, they can hack our brain. They can. It's not that they're reading our minds, but they can discern our thought patterns. And so these AI companies have been able to hack people's bank accounts by figuring out people's PIN numbers by eye flutter recognition. They, you know, the newest AirPods can actually read brain waves and discern what kind of messages somebody is amenable to, you know, political messages. So it will not be long before, you know, these tech companies are able to feed people the kind of information to coax them into making certain political decisions, who they're going to vote for, who they're going to support. It's the next generation of Scaryville.
Mm. Yeah, the only thing we can hope for at this point is that the AI companies get greedy and decide to compete against each other, and that leads them to contradictory messages.
Hope is not a strategy. We have to take action now. We've got a short window for Congress to act. You know, the Democrats in Congress and Joe Biden, they see AI as the greatest weapon, the greatest tool they've ever had. Republicans in Congress have to stand up now, and they've got to consider options. How do we stop the terrible behavior from taking place? I would encourage them to actually consider criminalizing efforts by the left, you know, to silence thoughts. We do have constitutional rights to our thoughts. This is a Supreme Court decision from the 40s. We have a constitutional right to our thoughts. If tech companies are trying to manipulate our thoughts, destroy our ability to think independently, that's an attack against us. That's an assault. Maybe it should be criminalized. That would get the attention of AI.
Mm. Yeah, that would certainly get the attention of AI, but I'm dubious about its enforcement. I was talking on the show last week about Department of Homeland Security. They've labeled your thoughts as cognitive infrastructure and claimed jurisdiction over it.
Well, that is contrary to Supreme Court decision-making. It's also contrary to the UN Declaration of Human Rights. We have a right to our own thoughts. No authoritarian is supposed to be allowed to control what we think.
Hmm. I'll have to leave it at that, but Dan Schneider, appreciate you coming on to inform our listeners about this. It is a very scary prospect, how easily manipulated we are at that level of technology now, where people can be so easily manipulated by artificial intelligence programmed by bad actors. But listeners, our website, mainstreetmedianetwork.com, you can check us out further there. And you can also find us on social media, Getter, GETTR.com, at Silker Joe Show. But don't forget about our other show, The Alan Nathan Show, which is over at alannathan.com. Be seeing you.
The opinions you hear on the Main Street Radio Network are those of the host, callers, and guests, and not necessarily those of the station, Main Street Radio Network, its management, or advertisers. The information on the Main Street Radio Network does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or securities. So please, consult a professional before investing. If you have any questions or comments about Main Street Radio Network, contact us at 703-719-0433 or at our website, mainstreetradionetwork.com.